Don't be scared to lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Amen. He's worthy of lifting up your hands and worshiping Him, saying He is everything and we are nothing. Amen. Let's go in our Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Is my microphone on, Joe? Woo. Nice. Hebrews chapter, we're going to Romans. I don't know why I'm sending you to Hebrews. Romans chapter number 12. That's always a great start. Romans chapter number 12. The Lord put this message on my heart, Thursday or so. I'm like, I don't know next time I'm going to be preaching, so I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And then Pastor asked me if I'd preach today. I said, well, praise the Lord, God already gave me a message. God, I believe He gave me this message for you tonight, and I know it'll be a help to you, because anytime we preach the Word of God, it'll be a help to us. Sometimes we don't want to hear it, and sometimes we just have our ears closed, but that's not the Word's fault, that's our fault, amen. So ask the Lord what He has for you tonight out of this. Let's jump to verse number 12 of Romans, chapter number 12. You know, it is Hebrews. It is. I wrote Romans 12 in my notes, but I'm studying Hebrews 12, and my message is all out of Hebrews 12, so I think we should go there. My mind knew, the paper doubted, and I followed what I wrote. Hebrews chapter number 12. Actually, no, I'm just joking. It is. It is Hebrews 12, all right? If it's not, I'm preaching something out of Hebrews 12 tonight, because we're not going anywhere else. No, it is Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse number 12. Let's jump in there. Follow along with me as I read. Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. How fitting. Men, we just heard the song sung tonight. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. As I read this passage, verses 12 and 13 really stood out. To lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. To make straight paths for your feet. In Mexico, when we lived there, every once in a while they do some road work. Of course, on all the roads where we lived, there wasn't many stop signs, any stop lights. I don't think there was barely any stop signs, but let alone stop lights. But they had topes, speed bumps everywhere. And you would it's speed bump city. You don't go very far. The speed limit was as fast as you could get from here to there where the next speed bump was, and that was how you drove. And every once in a while, they'd pave a nice road, though, and it'd be beautiful, it'd be smooth, even with nice new speed bumps that had a nice shape to them. The worst ones were at the border. At Texas, at the U.S. border, they were like straight up, straight over, and straight down. You had to hit those slow. But I'm pretty sure that was on purpose, so you can't go whizzing through the border crossing. But nice smooth road, it would be such a nice thing with riding along, because the roads were okay. Nothing like, you know, Bush Zambia bad, but they were pretty good roads most of the time. And my wife and I learned something while we were there, that the nice road didn't last very long. It'd be smooth for a little while, and then it would get destroyed. And you might think that's because it wasn't paved right, that's because people would abuse it, but no, they would usually destroy it themselves, because they would pave the road, and then it would take a few weeks, a few months, before they were digging it up to put pipes under it or to run lines across it. And you wouldn't believe it. You think, couldn't you do that first and then pave the road? But it happened again and again. So every time we saw it, it happened enough that we would just look at each other and be like, well, we'll enjoy it while it lasts, because in a few weeks there's going to be construction trucks back here and they're going to be digging up the road. And they don't pave it ever flat and smooth again. Now it's the little bumps everywhere you go, and it never looks as nice. And that's just the way it happened. And I don't think many of us have ever looked at a nicely paved, smooth road. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing when you're driving. It's a beautiful thing. And thought, you know what this road could use? It's some potholes. Let's put some potholes in this road. It's too smooth, you know? Can we get some gravel and throw some stones on top of this? Or maybe put a few trees? My wife and I, when we got married, we went on our honeymoon to San Francisco, and we drove up to the Redwood Forest. And there's a few spots there as you're driving through the trees, and the tree is like right there on the side of the road. And you see the roots kind of, the road starts to shape over top of the roots. You have to slow down for some of those spots. And you know, we don't look at the one nice road and think, this road needs some hazards. We all want a smooth road, an easy road. I want to get from point A to point B as quickly and as safely as possible. And the verse here tells us something about make straight paths for your feet. Talking about those around us who are weak. And sometimes I say around us. I think many times it is us. That I'm the one whose hands are hanging down and my knees are feeble. And if the road isn't straight, if the road isn't smooth, if the road isn't easy, then my Christian life is, I'm like that lame man who's not going to make it to the end. And Scripture is encouraging us here, if you have an ability within yourself to help others, make the path straight for them. Amen. And if you have the ability to do it in your own life, make the path straight. Lift up the weak, the feeble hands, strengthen the weak knees, and make the paths straight. It's warning us that there are those that are discouraged, those who are distraught, those who are, as we look later in the chapter and we'll focus on here tonight, those who are weighed down, those who are stumbling. And it leads to a Christian life that is looked at as a failure. And you look at the path because you fall in your Christian life. And that section ends with verse number 15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. God has set a path. I don't want to focus on success. And you know, some of those words get a little self-helpy. But God doesn't want to see your Christian life fail. God doesn't want you to be further from Him. God doesn't want you living in sin. He wants you to live a successful Christian life. Not in a business sense, but in a spiritual sense. That you are walking with Him. That you are fellowshipping with Him. That you're living holy. That you're a testimony and a witness. And you're an encouragement to the other Christians around you. And when we add hazards and make the road crooked, and we don't support those, and they're just weak people and feeble knees, and everyone's hands are down, and you're dragging through your Christian life, it leads to a root of bitterness that springs up and troubles you. And look what it says about that root of bitterness at the end of verse number 15. It doesn't say this is just a few people this happened to. What does it say? And thereby, what's the next word?
Many
be defiled. Christian, when you look at your life, your Christian walk, and it's filled with discouragement, things that weigh you down, failed expectations of what God was supposed to do in your life, what your life was supposed to look like in this moment, doesn't cause you to question yourself as much as it makes us question God. And a bitterness can spring up in your heart against God. And some of us have gotten good at maybe plucking the leaves off the bush. We have a little bush in our backyard. It's not there anymore because I cut it up, because it was probably 90% poison ivy. And we got rid of it. Well, I dragged it out in the back. It's probably now a tree back there somewhere else on the property. I didn't want to, you're not supposed to burn it. I'm like, now what do I do with it? I just dragged as far away from the house as I, until I was out of breath. So it's about 10 feet further than what it was. No, it's a little further. But you know what happens every year? Those poison ivy leaves spring back up in that same spot. Because what's underneath the ground there? You know there's a root there. And sometimes when we come to the altar and God deals in our heart and we pray and we confess, we're just plucking some leaves off. And the root is still in there. He uses Esau as an example in the next verses. And Esau was given the blessing. He was given the first inheritance. He's given that double portion. And in the moment when he was hungry, he looked at that, and verse number 16 describes it, lest there be any fornicator, any profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. God has given us such a blessing to walk with him, to live a Christian life, knowing that God is by our side, knowing that we have purpose that will matter in eternity, knowing that we have the message of good news and hope and truth. But when the way's rough and you get discouraged, that looks like a blessing is now, what is this burden I'm carrying? Doesn't Egypt look so much easier? And bitterness can grow in our heart against the things that God put in our lives to be a blessing. As Esau sold his birthright for a morsel, gave up something precious for something that was very temporal. And we sacrifice the will of God in our lives. We sacrifice our fellowship with him. It's something in the moment seems so important, so critical, but in the long haul, it was just temporary. Why are our hands down? Why are our knees feeble? Why are the paths crooked and filled with difficulty? Well, there's a few reasons here in this chapter, Hebrews chapter number 12. I would say, first off tonight, there's just moments of difficulty that come up. Moments of chaos, maybe, or disappointment. This time of year is always such a blessing, but it's also a time of a little bit of extra chaos in the household. Some of you have experienced some chaos and difficulty and disappointment recently. We've had a number of car accidents in the building. Don't plan on that coming into your life. That makes the path a little less straight. There's a little bend now, a little pothole there, where that's not what I saw coming. Sickness, just busyness. Most of our college kids are back. You know, that week of finals, how fun can that be sometimes? Just that extra chaos, the pressure. Christmas is such a blessing, but man, there's that kind of unspoken pressure. Got to get the perfect gift for every single person. And I don't know what they want, and what do they want, and how much can I spend? And then, oh, there's so many people I should get stuff for, and I look at the bank at the time, and And what are we doing in our lives? I need some potholes. God's given me a path. Know what I want to do? Dig up some potholes. But some of those are out of our control. Some of it's the way of life. Some of it's God trying to teach us things. But those difficulties come up. And when we allow those difficulties, the stress and pressure and anxiety and these outside events to take control, we're giving the flesh power where the spirit should have control. You're giving up ground. You're adding that pothole. You say it's from an outside source, but how you deal with that, whether you take that burden and you pass it right on to the Lord, or whether you take it on yourself and try to handle it, you're just adding some hazards to the road that's in front of you. In the next section, let's read verses 5 through 11. We're kind of work our way backwards through the chapter. Chapter 12, verse number 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint." There's this theme that runs through the chapter. It starts with verse number 1. The idea is repeated here in verse number 5. And then, of course, we started with that idea in verses 12 and 13 of those who are weak and feeble. It says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." My dad would tell me, my mom would tell me, "I love you, that's why I'm spanking you." You say, it can't be true. And now I say the same thing to my children. You can't grow up to just be a monster and do whatever you want to do and think the world revolves around you. No, there has to be discipline and rules and order. And it's because we love them that it's hurtful, it's time-consuming, it's stressful to discipline, especially consistently. It'd be a lot easier just, no, go be a monster, and when you're 18, you're out, and I don't care. But that's not what a good parent's going to do. And God is our example in that, that he chastens us. Verse number 7, if ye endure chastening, look at that, endure chastening. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? There's chastisement that comes into our life. What are the things that cause those paths to be crooked? What is what makes our knees feeble and our hands down? Sometimes just the chaos of life. But then there is the chastisement of the Lord. Once again, something God is putting in our lives for our benefit, but when it's looked at the wrong way, it becomes twisted. And he warns us of that. No, this is a blessing. The Father loves you. That's why he's chastising you. That's why he's correcting you. Because there is something in your life that shouldn't be there, and the Father's pointed it out. That behavior, that attitude, that action, that sin has no place in your life. And that would be the next point here. We're going to go through these pretty quick, is point number two, that we have sin, that chastisement comes from sin in our life. Let's read verses 1 through 4 as we go back to the start of the chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And what's the next two words? The sin, which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The tendency is to quit when things get hard. How many of you parents maybe had to instruct your kids when there's a board game or something going on? I quit! No, you can't quit. You might not be having the most fun because you're losing, but you should finish what you've started. And it starts with little principles like that. Christians, don't quit on living holy. Don't quit on reading your Bible. Don't quit on your prayer life. Don't quit being a testimony. Don't quit living holy. Don't quit standing up for righteousness. Don't quit growing in the Spirit of God, because life is going to kick against you, because this world is under the control of Satan, and it is just destructive. You're going to err in your sin, and God's going to have to chastise you. And you say, this is too hard, I'm out. Or you can subject yourself to that. As Christ is our example of someone who endured till the end. And he makes that point, verse number 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Quickly on this point, we throw the word sin around a lot, and it talks of a whole lot of different things. And we say it all, just sin. And I don't want us to forget, and I don't want to forget, how God views sin. You can hold here. We're going to go read a few places. Romans chapter number 6. And we're going to come back to Hebrews here to finish the message. Romans chapter number 6. Look with me at verses 11 through 13. Romans 6, 11 through 13. Just some verses to remind us on what sin is and how God views it. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. I like this next part. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. God has called us to righteousness. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Verses 13 and 14. James chapter number 1, verses 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Look at the next verse. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't make the mistake of playing around in sin. Don't let the word become so common you forget that that's why Christ died on the cross. It's in our Christian vocabulary so much, but the suffering in this world from the beginning of the creation of Adam is the result of sin. God takes sin incredibly seriously. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 3. We'll look at two more passages here about this. Colossians chapter number 3. When we're getting chastised of the Lord, sometimes the attitude of, I don't deserve this, can creep up. Oh, no, we deserve a whole lot more than chastisement. Because that's done in love to bring us back to Him. Take advantage of the chastisement of the Lord. Colossians 3, verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I don't ever want my name to be in the same verse as the wrath of God. Unless it's to say he got away from it. He was forgiven of it. And praise the Lord, through Jesus Christ we are. The next verse tells us, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Galatians chapter number 5. Go with me to Galatians chapter number 5. Say, Pastor, why are we talking about this? This is kind of a side path here. But it's important for us to always realize that sin is always sin. It's always evil in the sight of God. And it carries grave consequences. Not just the eternal consequence from which, if you're saved, you've been forgiven. Praise the Lord for that. But sin and that break in your fellowship with the Lord. And just the practical consequences of sin still affect your life. When we choose to sin, we look at the path God's laid out for us and we say, I need to add some potholes to this. Now this could use a nice 90-degree turn. And let's put some ice right there. That's what happens when we choose to sin. The path God has put out for you that should be one of blessing and fellowship, we are destroying all by ourselves. Grace is a great thing, but it is not meant to be abused. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In Sunday school, we were studying the fruit of the Spirit, the next section there this morning. God's Spirit is there to convict us of sin and draw us back to Him. If there's sin in your life, I don't know how we would expect to not be weighed down. Would you expect to have a smooth path? Would you expect your knees to be strong and your hands to be lifted up in strength and glory and honor to the Lord? We can't just hide it, cover it up, not talk about it, act like it's not there, and things are just going to work out fine because God loves me. The third category of things that weigh us down, that add those crookedness and difficulty in the path, would be the weights. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 12. God chose to put these two things side by side. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, he talks about, Paul is writing where he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every is important. It's a word in the Bible that God wanted there. Every weight, and lumped in right with it, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We need patience in the race. We need endurance in the race, because it's already going to be a hard race. You are fighting against the system of the world. You are fighting against Satan and all his principalities and power. You are living just a normal life that comes with its own challenges. That is challenging enough. The world hates us because it hated him. That's enough to fight against to make day-to-day life hard as it is. And yet, we add in sin. Oh, Pastor, I know that's not. Clearly, I sin, but I got that one. I know I'm not supposed to. That's easy. But what does God put right in with it? The weights. And I do believe there is a difference in the two. Sin can be a weight, but I believe there's a lot of other weights that might not be sin. Until it leads you away from God, then that weight is a sin. Every weight can't be gotten rid of. I have four lovely children. It sounds mean, but they are a weight in my freedom in life, right? I can't just say, all right, I'm quitting my job. I'm going to get on an oil rig and sail. You can't do that. You have responsibilities. Yes, I do. Not every weight is sinful. Not every weight can be gotten rid of. But weight that we add to our lives is one of the things that make our knees weak. You can almost picture it when you're talking about weight. My knees are just starting to buckle because I'm carrying too much on my shoulders. My hands are exhausted. My arms are tired. How can I lift them up to help someone else or to praise God? And that's the mountain I have to climb now? That's my path? Twisty, turny, cutting through mountains and woods and ice and snow. That's where I'm supposed to go? Well, what can make it easier? When we lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, to run the race with patience. Concerns of this world. Fondness that we have for the things of the world. What slows us down, what hinders our desire or ability to follow God's will in our life. These things are weights. It's hard to preach about. But it's true. We like the world that's around us. Oh, there's things about it we don't like. Talk your ear off about how the politics and everything just falling apart. I can talk to you about taxes and how high they are and how wrong it is. I can talk to you about whatever happening in the culture now with genders and just how crazy and wicked it is. But then we switch topics to something else in this world, and that's your thing. And we like it. It can be our own goals, our vision of what our life should be, the things that we love, the things that make us focus downward instead of the things that lift our eyes upward. If I pulled out a wheelbarrow of boulders here, we dumped it on the stage, and there's this big old jagged rocks. You can picture that, right? And I say, that's weight. And who wants this in your life? And of course, the answer is, who wants to move a pile of rocks? Nobody. I got a big chunk of my old cement stairs still sitting by the new wooden stairs because I don't want to break it up and move it. I already broke up the little pieces. They're gone, little by little. And my kids helped me. But the big piece, I don't want to move that. Obviously, that's a weight. You see that extra burden? If I gave you the backpack and I started filling it with rocks, who wants to carry this all day? Obviously, no. Nobody wants that. But most of the weights that affect Christians are not that obvious. Where you look at it, you say, that is horrible for me. Anyone looking at that can tell you, that's just going to make life hard. Why are you doing that? Why am I doing this? But the devil is smart. And he's made the weights that we carry look awful nice. And you may have noticed over on the chair here, I borrowed something from my son. Some of you might have one of these. It's a blanket, but it's a weighted blanket. It's like, I don't know, what is this, 20 pounds or something? 25 pounds. My son is cold at all times. He's got his mother's blood. And we got this, you know, in winter, just wraps right around, and there's none of that cold pockets when you move. It just, I don't think I could do it. Just having it on, I'm like, this is too much. Get it off of me. I need my feet sticking out and my head sticking out and everything else. The fan's on. But you know what blankets are? Oh, they're nice. They're warm. They make you feel secure and safe and cozy. But it's a weight. I'm getting tired holding this thing. It might not look like it to you, but there's a decent amount of weight in this thing. I'm not going to drop it on the floor because you might want to sleep with it tonight. But oh, weights look pretty inviting when they look like that. Oh, I could just wrap myself up in that. You can maybe picture yourself by the wood-burning stove. Blanket, a cup of tea, or hot chocolate, or an orange kickstart with ice. I'm getting thirsty just thinking about it here. But you know what I just added to my life? Weight. And the modern world is filled with weights that give us safety, that give us a sense of security. It gives us a sense of joy. And it doesn't look like a pile of jagged rocks someone's asking you to haul or break with a mallet here. Oh, it looks inviting. It looks like something I need, something that I want. I want to remind you that the command to get sin out of your life is the same command that tells us to get weight out of our life. Those things that have us focus on love, our fondness grows on the things of the earth. I think we sometimes see weights as more of an optional thing. Oh, if I can handle it, then I'll carry it. Just the other day, we were setting up here a little bit for the ladies' fellowship. I heard that was a great blessing. And there was 3 cases of water, 2 smaller and 1 bigger. And I grabbed the 2 smaller ones, and Pastor's there, and I put it on the bigger one. And I pick it up, and I got it. I'm like, ready to go. And it's kind of heavy. I got this. And then he reminds me, what'd you say? It's a long walk. You're right. And he took one of the smaller ones off the top. And by the time I got there with just the two, I'm glad I don't have that third one now. What's God got planned for your life? Can you give me that detailed outline today? What he's going to do with you tomorrow, next week, next year? None of us can. So don't put on weights. I can handle it. You don't know what God's going to ask you to do. You don't know the next difficulty, moment of chaos and disappointment and discouragement that's about to come when your shoulders are already weighed down with as much as you can handle. And all that is just, it's fun. It's just life. It's what I need. It makes me feel safe. It makes me feel secure when it's a weight. John reminds us, and he pleads with the church with a love of a father towards his children in 1 John 2:15 when he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Love not the world. But Pastor, it's my thing. No, we need that in life. Oh, that's what we do for fun. Well, be incredibly careful. When you invest your love into your job, your vacation, your things, your home, your families, your traditions, your retirement, your strength, your health, your abilities, your food, your entertainment, when you invest your love and your strength and your energy in those things, you are robbing the love that should go to God. When I invest my passion and my security in these things, I'm robbing the security I should find in God. When I find comfort in the things of this world, I'm robbing the comfort that I should be getting from God. A simple illustration is stress eating. Comfort food. We use that around a lot, right? Oh, I just, things are so crazy right now, I just need a... Why are you turning to something temporal and worldly? For something God says, I have in plenty waiting for you. When his name is the God of all comfort, and he gave us the comforter to indwell in us, and yet we go to other things for comfort. When he should be the primary source. The more we invest in worldly things, the more we rob from what should be directed towards God. Compare it to those who've suffered for the cause of Christ. Even stories today of modern-day martyrs. People around the world who are poor, who love God, and they're just filled and blessed with His Spirit without any of the weights that we have. When we compare ourselves to that, which I know is a dangerous thing to do, we haven't endured much yet. But yet, not to attack you or myself, there's moments when you feel this is all I can handle. And our lives are so blessed. God is waiting for us to take off weights that we've become accustomed to, that we've come to trust and depend on, and says, give those to me. Depend on me. Love me. Find comfort in me. Find hope in me. Find joy in me. Find purpose in me. Not in the weight. Remember the end of this. Well, our goal is to consider Christ, who set aside everything and resisted and fought to the end. But you can't run a race if the path isn't straight. Oh, hurdles. How many of us think you could run the hurdles? Even the people who run hurdles sometimes can't run the hurdles. Oh, a race is enough. Do me 3 laps around the track. That's plenty. I don't need to add in hurdles, dogs chasing me, potholes, trip hazards. There's a race put in front of us, brothers and sisters. And it's going to have its own challenges, and God is there to help us through those. Amen. I'd like you to ask the Holy Spirit tonight, ask God to show you, what weight do I have? Start with sin. Obvious, clear, cut. This is no place in my life. Maybe you need to ask God to renew a hatred and a despisement for sin. And then look at the other things in your life that you've added on. And it may look inviting, and I need it, and I like it, and I want it there, but if God says, no, that's a weight, you've got to cast that off and come to me. I considered it when we bought our house. You know what I added to my life? It was a weight. But having a house is that, it's my home, it's where we have all the memories, and it's where I know there's a lot of good things and things like that. But you know what it is? It's a weight. Oh, I love some sports, I love doing things, but be careful what I add. Oh, me and Mal, we talk about, I'm going to do this for the kids and have that activity and this sports thing and make sure they get there. And whew, and little by little, my knees are getting weak. My hands are getting feeble. And the road is not straight. The path is not straight. That blanket's a lie. It's deceit. Comfort, purpose, joy, love, and security are not in the world. They're in God. A God of freedom and liberty has called us to a higher calling. Let's stand. We'll pray tonight. As Mrs. Huber comes to the piano, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar tonight. Say, but my seat's comfortable. I know. But let's come to the altar. Ask God to show you, what sin do I have? What weight do I have? His heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are coming. If God spoke to you tonight, come and talk with him. It's not good enough just to think about it and leave and say, yeah, there was something there. No, decisions need to be made. God's got business to do with you. Come to the altar. Throw the weight on the altar. Say, God, this is yours. I don't want this in my life anymore. It's taking my love from you and it's putting it on here in this world. Or maybe, God, I've gotten too used to this sin. It's been sneaking in little by little and it's becoming a stronghold. Forgive me. Help me to fight this. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Do business with God if he's talked to you tonight.